It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. If you'd open your Bibles up to John chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 27 down through verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 27 through verse 38. So while you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to give the mailing address if you'd send it to the same place, Parkview Bible Church. The street address, again, is 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois. Zip code is 62341. And if you just add the box number for me, I'd appreciate it, box 43. Now, if you have had a moment to open your Bibles now, please, that you follow along as we read John chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 27. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his sweet word. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. Please that you will guide and lead us through your word, that we may see exactly what you have for each one of us. We know, Father, that first of all you call us unto eternal life, that you call us to be saved, you call us to be born again through your word, all of the being the same thing, that we must repent from our sin and turn to you, and it needs to be a calling, the penetration of the heart, the conviction of the heart, Lord. Please that you that your Holy Spirit can work through the word that's proclaimed today, and as it's proclaimed, that people will surrender their heart and their life unto you, that they may serve you the rest of their days and eternally. So please, Lord, guide and lead us now as we study this precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do enjoy studying the Word of God. We have been spending some time when it spoke here of the previous days that we have been together, and we've looked at some costs, some expenses here concerning the people kind of wanting the Lord Jesus to take care of them. They saw, or they were a part of the feeding of the 5,000, and so they kind of decided it was time to eat again, so they followed him again. And the Lord Jesus kind of put them in their place when he looked at verse 20. We have verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. And sad today that everybody kind of wants something for nothing, and the more we can get, the more we take, and that's kind of the way it is today, the society today, I guess you could say. But we've talked about how the Word of God looks upon and demands us that we work. And if we don't work, we don't eat. We've looked at that. And now we're going to look at what's much more important than work or food or anything. And it tells us here in verse 27, labor not for the meat that perishes. You know, everything that we have perishes. There's nothing. My house eventually will fall down. My car will rust away. The food I have in the house will go bad. There's nothing that I have that is of any value as far as material things I'm talking about. There's nothing there. And yet we spend so much time to have new cars and to have new trucks and to have beautiful homes and to decorate our homes, with shrubbery and with flowers and everything so that it looks so nice. And there's nothing wrong with something looking nice and caring for it. I believe that is part of our testimony. And yet when we have so much, sometimes that too can ruin our testimony. If we don't care about anything and nothing is clean and it kind of looks dumpy around, why, that's not a very good testimony of being a Christian. Everything should look nice and should be kept up and cleaned up. And that same time, the other side is to live in a mansion and drive a big car and all those things. People kind of scratch their head and wonder if that's right too. And so you need to be careful and just be in prayer of the Lord that you live the life that He wants you to live. But here we're talking about something much more important than that. And that is in verse 27, again, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath the God the Father sealed. And so we're finding here that it's something that is given and not worked for, not labored for. We work very hard for what we have, or most people do. Again, today, we do have a society here that takes more handouts than anybody I ever seen, and if there's something there can be handed out, they'll take it and grab it and run and want more. I believe I was raised this way, and I believe the Word of God teaches this clearly as well, and that is that you work, and you work very hard, and you support your family, and if you're not, why, you're very much worthless, not only to society, but also to the Lord Jesus. And we never want to be worthless unto the Lord Jesus, and we'll find when we're in service unto the Lord Jesus, then we will also help folks around us as well. So we have here, labor not for those things that perish, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give. Now that comes again. We think we have to work for everything, and that was the way I was raised, and those qualities did not hurt me to learn how to work when I was very young, and I've worked all of my life. I've worked very hard all of my life. And that there's not a day that work has hurt me. Work is good for the body. It's good for the mind. It's good for you. But there's also something that's much, much better than anything I can gain. Any work I can do or exercise I can do, there's something much greater than that. And that is something that cannot be earned, bought, worked for in any manner. It is something that's given. And that's eternal life. Work for the, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give. We are told to labor for it, but it's something that the Lord Jesus gives us. Now, I enjoy and love the work around the church. I love the work that is connected with the church. I love the work that is involved with the ministry. I love being a Christian, and I work very hard in service unto the Lord. But He has given me eternal life. I can't work for it, and because I serve Him and because I work for Him is not just securing eternal life for me or anything of that sort. Everlasting life, eternal life, to become a Christian is something that took place in my life some 25 years ago, back in 1975. It took place between the Pharaoh house and the house, the day that I finally recognized that the Lord Jesus was, by the Holy Spirit, was convicting my heart of my sin. I repented of my sin, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. He did. I have been laboring for Him ever since. But I did not labor to receive that free gift. The wages of sin is death. That's what I had. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift. I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He did. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please that you come to the Lord Jesus today. Something that is much greater. It brings happiness. It brings joy. It is eternal to serve, to worship, and to praise God. What an honor that is. What a privilege that is. To be able to come into the house of the Lord and sing praises unto the Lord with other believers. What a privilege that is. Don't miss that opportunity and don't miss that privilege. If, you know, we live in a country to this time, we can still come into the house of the Lord and we can still lift up our voices unto the Lord and we can still hear a preacher preach the truth and we can still sit in that pew and say amen if we choose to. We can still again sing and pray and enjoy the fellowship with other believers. But we just don't meet God here. God's with us every minute, every second of every day. He is there to help me, to assist me. He's there to direct me. He has given me a joy in my heart that no one else or nothing else could ever do. And I hope today that you will recognize that and begin to stop your labor for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. He doesn't just throw it out. You listen to the word, your heart's convicted, you have to make a choice. You make a choice, He will come into your heart and save you, if you'll trust in Him today. It isn't just, okay, here's 10,000 people. I'm going to give 10,000 people eternal life. That's not the way it works. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to seek and to save those that are lost. But we need to listen very carefully at His call. We need to watch for Him. And that comes by reading the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, and responding to that Holy Spirit and asking Jesus to come into your heart. And then life begins, real life begins. For Him hath God the Father sealed. We too are sealed by the Holy Spirit the day we meet Jesus. We're kept. The Son can never be separated from the Father. We can never be separated from the Lord Jesus, from God the Father, once we've come by faith to Jesus and been sealed. I love verse 27. Then said they to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What did He say? I've underlined that word, give. Now, I'll take that back. I've circled it a little clearer to see. The Son of Man shall give unto you eternal life. The people come back and says, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How can I become a believer in Jesus Christ? What can I do? What can I do? Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I hope you're looking this up. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are you going to do with your works? How are you going to try to bring that into God's plan somehow or another? Churches have tried to do it for years, continue to do it. They act like it. They talk like there's something you have to do to either be saved, or there's something you have to do to maintain your salvation, and both are a lie. And both are against, contrary to the Word of God. Once you have become a child of God, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, as the Son is sealed of the Father. As we look here, for him hath God the Father sealed, speaking of the Son. Not by works. There's nothing here we can do. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Will you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today and listen to him? Listen very carefully to him. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." That's the work of God, to believe. He's coming. He has bought and paid for everything. You see, when a bill is paid for, if you go to the shop and get your car repaired, and they had to do a lot of work on it. They had to work on the brakes, and they had to work on the motor, and they had to work on everything. Boy, they finally got everything, all the little bugs out of it, to where now, boy, it just runs just like a sewing machine, just perfect. Runs good, stops good, everything's fine. You go up there to pay the bill, and you know it's going to be a terrible bill because he's worked for a couple days on it to get everything taken care of like it should be. You go up there to pay that bill, and all of a sudden, why, the man that owns the place, why, he hands you the bill, and you've got your checkbook out, ready to write the check out, or maybe you just have cash with you. You're going to pay it that way. It's always good to pay your bills. You're right there, and you grab a hold of that bill to look at the bottom line to see how much it is, and then you always kind of look up to see all the charges. And so as you look at all the charges, why then the to redo the brakes, why that was $150. And to redo the, put new shocks on, why there was another couple hundred dollars. And had to tune it up, and so there was $50. And had to put new plugs in it, so there was another $50. An air filter, and change the oil. And you just kept adding it up and thought, oh my land, I'm not even going to be able to take care of this. And you get down to the bottom line down there. And you don't even want to look to see how much it is. And you look at the bottom line, it says paid in full. Well, how could that be? You've done the work. I haven't paid you. How can this be paid in full? Somebody had to pay it, didn't they? Somebody paid that bill. Was it a good friend that knew you needed the car and need to get it upgraded? So he came in and he told the owner of that business that whenever he comes in with his car, you just take care of it, and I'll pay you, whatever it is. I'll pay every penny. I'll pay the tax. I'll pay everything, whatever it takes to get that going. You just get that car going for him so he can continue to get to work and continue to support his family. He needs a little help right now, and I'm going to do that. And so you just take care of it, and I'll pay that bill. Somebody has to pay the bill, don't they? Well, you see, that's the problem with sin, because sin is the same way. There's a price that needs to be paid. Has to be. I've told you before, I've told you many times. What's the cost of sin? The wages, the cost of sin is death. You're going to die, and you're going to spend eternity, and death there is a separation from God. A total, complete separation from God. Even if you're not a believer today, if you've never come by faith to Jesus, you still are enjoying the goodness of God. You are enjoying the love of God because he is pouring out the rain. He is bringing the snow. He is bringing the growth of the plants. He is allowing you to breathe. He's keeping the world and the earth rotating. He's keeping oxygen here for us. The trees, everything. There would be nothing here if it was not for God. So you see, you have the advantage, even though you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. You've never come by faith. You have the advantage of God's presence. You're kind of using things that he has made. But there'll be a day. And that day when you die, you will be totally and completely separated from God. Never, never to have the advantage and the presence of His things and the things that He has given to all of us. Never see Him again. You'll never see Him again, except for one time. And that's when you come before His judgment. Oh, the decision's finished because you neglected to come by faith to Jesus. So see, it's finished. However, there'll be a day when it'll be announced and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that's where you'll spend eternity. No price, no cost. It's free. But you must come, turn to Him, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. Leave whatever you need to leave. Sometimes when I was saved, the church we were in, it wasn't long we left that church. We left that church because they didn't preach the truth. And there's people that hate me to say that. They don't like me to say that. They says, you know, that's our church. That's a home church. We're going to stay there. I hope that your church preaches the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I hope that your church preaches that you can come by faith to Jesus. It is a personal relationship, and it needs to take place in your life. It's not just kind of a general thing that God loves everybody, so everybody's going to heaven. That's not true at all, except for, of course, those murderers and people like that. That's not a separation at all. It's the separation between the believer and the non-believer, those that come by faith to Jesus and accept Him as their Savior. I don't care how many years you've sat in church. If your church does not teach that, if your church teaches that baptism saves, you have to be baptized to be saved, there's so many things that are contrary to the Word of God that you're not aware of. And so you've just taken it all in, and you're just living that way, and that's what my dad did, my granddad did, so I'm staying here, and I'm not leaving, and don't tell me to leave, Larry. I'm telling you what's good for you, and what's good for you is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus today. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you. Now begin that walk. And as the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of things that are going on in your church, maybe nothing, maybe everything's fine, and you finally surrender to Jesus and you're saved, you can stay there. But if they teach things that's contrary to the Word of God and you get your little nose and your eyes down into that Word and you study the Word, you begin, as you're saved, begin to read the book of John. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. It's sad if you're going to have to study by yourself. Many churches don't have any Bible studies anymore. That should be evidence right there. There's not much there if they don't have Bible study. If they just have one service a week, that tells you again pretty well, not much going on. There are several things that could be evidence and help you to understand it's time to move along. What does Jesus ask them to do? Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." God the Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus. You remember when I was talking about the car and having that bill paid? Jesus paid it all. He came down here, He was sent of the Father down here to pay the debt of sin, because sin's price, sin's cost is death. Someone had to die in order to pay it in full. Jesus did. He came down here, He lived down here, He lived a perfect life. That's the reason He's the only one that can be our offering and our sacrifice, because it was perfect. He came to the cross of Calvary, and He didn't stop short of dying on that cross, because if He would have, it would not have been completed. He died on that cross, He shed His blood, and he presented to His Father His own precious blood. Says, "Here, it's been shed, it's here, it's presented to you, Father, it's finished." He rose from that grave 3 days later, showing victory over death. And only Jesus can do that. Only God can do that. And it's been done for you. The work. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." That's the work. That's what He pleaded with them folks. Just believe on Me. Will you believe on Me today? Come by faith and trust in Me and turn your life over to Me. Come and confess your sin and come today to Me. Will you come? That was the plea that Jesus Himself made to these people. It wasn't John the Baptist. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't It wasn't Luke. It wasn't Peter. It was Jesus that said right to these people, here's what you need to do. Labor not for the meat of today. Don't worry about those things near as much as you do. Get your eyes over here. Worry about this. Look to this. I have something to give to you. And then change your whole life that you work in service unto the Lord Jesus. You work praising His name. You work praising and honoring Him. And you do that by bringing others to Jesus. We bring honor unto the Lord when we stay with the truth and preach the truth and are in a church that preaches the truth. Look what the people said. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They wanted a sign. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. They wanted a sign. Listen to those people standing right before the Lord Jesus himself, and they did not believe him. They said, we want a sign. We've got to have something here. Show us something. He has already healed. He has already fed the 5,000, and yet they're still asking. Remember when we talked about they did not believe his miracles? They just had their bellies full, and they wanted them to be filled again. I think that's right where we're at. Remember when they couldn't figure out how he got from one place to the other? Because he didn't leave in the ship, and yet he was still there and came. He didn't leave in the ship, but he came in the ship when he got to the other side. Couldn't figure that out. Miracle after miracle, and yet they have ignored the very purpose of those miracles is to show that he was God and he was perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Doesn't that sound like today? The Jews want a sign. Show us something else. But the Greeks, the Gentiles, they want wisdom. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Oh, my friend, that's so sad. That's so sad. Continues here in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews as a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. I'm telling you to come by faith. I'm telling you to stop trying to decipher it and figure it out. I'm telling you to turn your life. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you've gotten that far, you felt the conviction and the calling of the Holy Spirit. Now just come to Him. Surrender to Him. For unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Will you listen to the Lord Jesus? Will you call upon Him? Oh, that you would listen very carefully. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Does it sound foolish to you? That somehow you can come to Jesus Christ and every sin you've ever committed and ever will commit is gone. Oh yes, we still live in the flesh and we still do foolish things. But in the sight of God, He only sees the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. We have been set free from our sin, but only to those that have accepted that free gift of salvation by and through the Lord Jesus. As we look unto the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God, see the joy of coming by faith to Jesus and no works connected. But you may be one that you're calling. You may not be a Jew, but you may be calling for a sign. Let's see something else. Let's see something in the sky. Let's see something out there. People come to me and they'll say, you know, the moon, it's got something around it up there. What's that mean? I said, it's the moon and it's got something around it. My car breaks down. And they come and they said, oh, what's that mean? I said, it means your car broke down. People are foolish. Go to the Word of God and trust in the truth. What's it going to be to you? Are you going to come to Him today? My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?